Lord, I just pray that you'd anoint your word this morning, that as we learn this morning of your, just your power to overcome worry and anxiety, Father, that you would just fill our hearts with your praise and your worship. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will change us and transform us. And that, Father, that we can go through life here on earth with your kingdom in mind and establishing your kingdom. So, Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Wow, this has been just an incredibly awesome morning. Hallelujah, give glory to God. So the title of my message this morning is Do Not Wring Your Hands, Raise Your Hands. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about worry and anxiety this morning. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11, it says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water do not fail." Hallelujah. You know, when we follow after God, He will be with us. He will strengthen us even in hard times and tough times. He will come through and strengthen us. I've said this since the beginning of the crash several years ago. God's economy works in any economy. If we are faithful to God's economy, He will be faithful to us in any economy. And so I know that things are tough out there right now. And there's some challenges that are going on out there in people's lives. But God has promised to take care of our every need. And so far, He's doing really good. And I've got faith He's never going to fail me. Amen? And so I came across a story this week, which I will now embellish to you as an example. And this story takes place not too many years ago in a place not far from here. There was a middle-aged man named Steve who was in a lot of personal trouble, but doing very little to help himself. He was just in a lot of trouble, and he was doing very little to do anything to get out of it. And his friend Fred advised him, "Steve, you've got two hands. Why don't you do something with them?" And Steve replied, "I am. I'm wringing both of them." Now, that's a poor chance at humor, but it illustrates what I want to bring out to us, that too often in the midst of circumstances, we worry and wring our hands instead of adhering to God's instruction in His Word. We tend to take things on ourselves and think we can solve everything. And, you know, "God, don't worry about it. I got this. I'll take care of this." And we tend to try to take care of things on our own. And we just build up this anxiety and this stress and these things in our lives. And Jesus commanded us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 27. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, how many believe that money is an okay thing? Because, I mean, even Ecclesiastes says, money solveth many a problems. And it's true. But the love of money, the desire of money, the when you go after just money, and you lose sight of the things of God and the purpose for money, God says that's a bad thing. That money becomes your master, and you lose focus of the things of God. And so when we focus our attention on the things of God, God will provide the finances. God will provide for us. And He goes on to say in verse 25, "That's why I," Jesus speaking, "that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you'll have enough food and drink or even enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They do not plant or harvest or store food in the barn, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" And, you know, we have been in the, my wife and I have been in the faith ministry for a very, very long time. And before I met my wife, I was in the faith ministry. I had started Bible college, and when I showed up the first day to Bible college, I showed up a day before Bible college started. I'd just gotten saved in April, and this is like the first part of September. I get this feeling like, or like I get a word that I'm supposed to go to Bible college. I had felt like I was supposed to go, and then somebody came up to me and said, and I had just talked to this girl that I was dating at the time, that I was planning on going into the ministry. I said, you know what? I really feel like God's calling me into the ministry. And she said, well, I'm going to pray for you because your language is horrible. And apparently at that point I hadn't stopped swearing. And, not that I noticed, but apparently other people had. So she said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, well, that's good. And then we went to a meeting, and at that meeting, this guy came up to me just out of the blue and said, Tim, have you ever thought about going in the ministry? And I thought, wow, you know, I was just talking to Karen about this. And he goes, well, you know, Bible college starts on Tuesday. You should, and this was Sunday. Said, you should come and talk to Chris on Monday and see if you can get into the school. So I said, okay. So I set an appointment with Chris to come in and talk to him in the afternoon. Okay. So I get there, or so in the morning, I call my friend because I own my own business. Okay. So I call a friend of mine and we go have lunch together. And I told him, I said, listen, I'm going to go to Bible college. And he goes, you are? And I go, yep, I've decided I'm going to go to Bible college. So here's the keys and the business is yours. And he goes, really? Are you sure this is what you want to do? And I said, yep, this is what I want to do. So I handed him the keys to the business and I walked away from the business. Just walked away. No money, no nothing. I go to the meeting with Chris Howard and I sit down and he goes, so you're called to Bible college? And I said, yep, I believe I am. And he goes, well, how are you going to pay for it? And I said, I don't know. I just gave away my business this morning for nothing. I just gave it away to a friend of mine. And he goes, what? I said, so I haven't got a job. I got a place where I'm staying right now, but I'm probably going to have to move because I probably won't be able to afford to be there. But okay. He goes, well, all right. Well, school starts tomorrow and I'll pray with you and we'll just believe God's going to do a miracle. Well, he did. And so I went to Bible college, and I'm supposed to make payments every month. This is hard. I never got a bill, ever, the whole time I was in Bible college. And Chris, to this day, the president of the Bible, to this day, swears it was an oversight on somebody's part because I was supposed to. Kids are dropping out of school the entire time I'm there for 2 years because they can't afford to be there, and I'm never getting a bill. Every once in a while when I get a little bit of money, I go by and pay $100 here, whatever, you know, and so I get a job as a waiter working graveyards at Denny's. And that didn't work because I was sleeping through Bible college. And I thought if I was going to go, it'd be important enough to be awake for. So I end up getting a job working at La Sierra Community Center where I'm running the open gyms and I just sit there and they pay me to sit there while other people are playing. I'm doing my homework. I'm going, man, this is a great job. And then eventually I started refereeing volleyball and I got like $10 an hour. And so it was pretty cool. And then a guy at school knew my predicament with my place to live. And he said, hey, there's a room available in our house. Why don't I bring you over? So I came over, went to the house where this lady was born with no hip sockets. And he was taking care of her the first year. He had to put on her shoes. She couldn't put on her shoes or take care of her feet or anything. And so she said, you can stay here. And I said, okay. And so then I get my, and she said, this is what I'll charge you for rent. And you got to do a couple things around the house and stuff. And we'll have food and stuff in the house. And I said, okay, no problem. And so I move in there. And so, then I get my check from the La Sierra thing. It's a couple hundred bucks, you know, but I'm sitting in service and I'm thinking, and I just feel like the Lord tells me to give it all. Give it all. What do you mean? Just endorse the back of the check, throw it in the thing, give it all. I said, well, I got rent to pay. I got stuff to do. He says, and so I just clearly felt like that's what the Lord said to do. So I signed the back of it and threw it in the offering, and off it went. And I was supposed to go out to lunch with some friends and stuff, and I got no money. I got nothing. This couple walks up to me after the church service. Just walks up to me and says, you know what? We've been watching you since Mother's Day when you were water baptized in front of the church. And we noticed you're going to Bible college, and we've been watching you from afar, and we just want to tell you we're praying for you. And we just want to encourage you, and here's $20. I don't even know these people. I haven't even seen them since that day. They just walked up and did that. The lady I was living with says, I need to see you this afternoon. I said, okay. So I go home in the afternoon, and she says, Tim, I've been praying about it, and this is what I've decided. You don't have to pay any rent, and I'm going to feed you the whole time you're here. What? And so after the one guy left for that summer and then the whole next year, I took care of her. I took care of her feet and massaged her feet and clipped her toenails and put her things on. And that was my job. That's what I did every day. I did the dishes. I cleaned up around the house. I helped out around whatever I could do. But I lived there for absolutely free the whole time. And at the end of my Bible college days, I had fines that were due from before. And BC, before Christ, I had some fines. And she said, I'll tell you what, if you pay off those fines, Tim, I'll pay off your school bill. And I said, okay. So I started putting all my money and went down to the Office of Revenue and Reimbursement and got it all set up and started paying those fines off and got all my warrants cleared and all those things so I wouldn't go back to jail. And at the end, she paid my whole bill. Then she took me out and bought me two suits. Said, you're going to need to preach in something. And we have been living by God's provision ever since. We were just talking to a couple last night who her grandfather sent us, when we went to Montana to minister in Montana, sent us $25 a month. When we were in Montana, and that $25 was life-changing. Every time we got it, it just came at the right moment. $25. But we were living on $265 out there. So $25 was a lot. And we had three kids. And my wife managed to get pregnant again, so we were about to have a fourth. God just provided. In between churches, in Circle when we were youth pastors and we went over to Missoula, I pumped gas for a year waiting for a church to open. Then we got into a church and God just continued to provide. I was like the leading vacuum cleaner salesman door to door. Electrolux vacuums, still the greatest vacuum ever made. Yeah, just can't afford one. But we sold them. But I'll be honest with you, I know this is true, one of our hardest things in life's journey is to get rid of the luggage of worry and to shed that. To keep worry off of our backs, to that anxiety of how we're going to pay this bill and how we're going to deal with this problem and how we're going to do it. That anxiety can weigh on you if you don't let it go, if you don't allow God to come in and intervene. And God has miraculously done it. Art, for the life of me, I don't know why he keeps saying it, but he does. He goes, I can't believe this church keeps going. And you people are faithful and God blesses you and you bless us and we keep going. I'm not sure why, but we do, and praise God for it. It is good to remind ourselves, though, what Peter said, and we got to keep in mind, Peter had many, many opportunities to worry, yet he remained focused on the one who could deliver him. And I love this area of scripture because oftentimes we read just part of it and then we stop and we don't get the full grasp of the scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, it says, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." That's verse 6, and people love to quote that. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But that's not it. Do you know what the sign of humility is? Verse 7. The sign of humility is verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. If you have cares, you're not humble. The sign of humility is the ability to release those things into God's hands. And when we hold on to them, it's a sign of stubbornness. It's a sign of pride that we're not releasing those things over to God and letting him take care of them. And I know it's not easy. I mean, we all got two hands who want to use them, and I think God wants us to. But we get caught up sometimes in that it's my responsibility to make those things happen. And it's not my responsibility to make those things happen. It's my responsibility to be faithful with what God puts in front of me to do. Whatever I do it heartily unto the Lord. So those are the responses. Those are the responses we have to do. We as pastors, my wife and I, we have never, in all the time that we have been looking for a church, we have never asked what our salary will be. It was funny. I was at a meeting just yesterday where a guy said, when you go in for a job interview, one of the first things you always talk about is what's the salary? And I thought to myself, nope, I never have. I don't go in and say, hey, how much are you going to pay me? My hope is that you'll be faithful. And God will be faithful. And I'm just serving. I'm just doing whatever I can to try to help. Because I don't know enough not to just do that. And so, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God, there is an enemy out there. There is a deceiver out there. There is a force that works against our good. And we must have the power and the might of God with us. Peter knew that if he would submit himself to God, that God's will for him would never take him to a place where God was not there with him. He knew that if he was committed to God and he said, God, I'm committed to you. I give my life over to you. I humble myself under your mighty hand, that you would raise me up to do your work and to do what you would have me to do. And I've cast all my cares upon you because you care for me. And I know that there's an enemy out there who will stop to try to steal and to kill and to destroy my life. But Father, I know that you are faithful to do whatever you've called me to do. And if you call me somewhere, if you put me somewhere, if I'm walking in your will, you will be with me. I will not go anywhere without you. And I know you'll always be there with me. And that was Peter's statement of faith. That was his call to faith. Listen, I'm not going to step back, Peter said. I'm going to move forward, and I don't, silver and gold have I not. He said, but what I do have is I have the name of Jesus, which can transform and change my life, your life, and all the lives that are around me. Because there is a power in that name that is above every other name. And he will accomplish those purposes. Now, I want to go over just a couple of keys, really quickly. When we feel like worry and temptation is coming on us, some of the things that we should probably do to get over that. The first is rejoice in the Lord. We do not rejoice because of the circumstance, but in spite of the circumstance. Bad things happen to good people, but you don't focus on the bad thing. You focus on Jesus. Amen. I've often talked about the perspective of where you are with your problems. That from a strategic standpoint, in war, those who have the higher ground win. If you have higher ground in a battle, you will win. And so in our walk with God, in our pursuit to follow God, in overcoming circumstances, we need to be able to rise above our situation into the presence of the Lord in order that we would be able to be in a position where we can conquer the situation. Amen? You cannot allow the situation to get the upper ground. You must overcome the situation by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and rise above it to a position where you can defeat the enemy, where you can defeat the circumstance, that you can overcome it. So, and the way that we do that is we rejoice in the Lord, and we begin to praise Him, and we raise ourselves above our situation so that God can deal with the thing. We rejoice because we know that our God will see us through victoriously. Let's see how Paul handled worry. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, it says, Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. As we focus our attention on God, His peace will overwhelm us no matter what the circumstance. Paul said here, do not worry about anything. Yet let's look at Paul's situation when he said this. This was right after Paul preached an incredible message before thousands and thousands of people, and hundreds of people got converted. He was on a spiritual high when he wrote this. No, he wasn't. Paul was in prison. He was chained to a Roman guard 24/7. When he wrote this letter to the Philippians, when he wrote this, he was facing impossible situations. There was an opportunity for him to worry extremely. He was about to be executed, as far as he knew. And yet he was in the midst of this in prison, chained to a prison guard, facing execution. He had plenty of things to worry about. And he writes a letter to the Philippian church in the book of Philippians. You read it. It is saturated with joy. It is saturated with Paul saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh man, God is good. He is talking about how great God is and how full of joy and rejoicing that we should all be. And the Philippian church is sitting on the outside sending him money. They're all sitting at home and they're reading this letter going like, this guy's in prison and he's loving God. This guy could die at any minute, and he's loving God. See, he rose above his situation and praised God anyways, not because he was in a circumstance, but because God is who God is, and God would get him through whatever he wanted. Paul felt like it didn't matter because I'm doing what God told me to do, just like Peter said. Hey, God, wherever you take me, you're going to be there with me. You'll see me through it. Paul was determined that no matter what the circumstance he was found himself in, he was going to rejoice and not worry. He controlled his thoughts. He did not let circumstances control him. Paul's strategy for dealing with trying times that could bring anxiety and worry and fear was to rejoice in the Lord, to find his joy in God. Not in the circumstance, not in this world, but in the Lord. Second key is to develop an unanxious attitude. The Amplified Version of Philippians 4:6 says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. How hard is that? How many of you got teenagers? Man, already I'm anxious. I got one in boot camp right now. And I think about him all the time going like, man, I hated it there. I hope he's doing okay. And don't tell him I said this, but he is so much like me. Oh, my goodness. That's why I'm probably more concerned about TJ than anyone else, my second son, because he is so much like me. I look at him and I so see me all the time. Jeremiah, see, here's what happened. We had a pile of kids because we were old when we got married. We started out old. Okay. And so we started having a passel of kids all at once. I mean, we just said, hey, let's have kids. And so we just started having kids. So Jeremiah was born like a year and a half later, right? 18 months, TJ was born. Okay. So at this point, Sherry's, you know, doing the girl thing and I'm doing the dad thing, you know, at this point, right? But then she gets pregnant. Okay. And David is born 5 days. More than a year, less than a year, 5 days less than a year after TJ. So now we got these two that are just slammed together in the middle, and she looks at me and says, guess what? Oh, what? You got TJ, which might have been the demise of TJ. So TJ is the one that I, you know, kind of always, you know, I changed his, I did all, you know, and I spent more time with TJ growing up, and man, oh man, has he just been me. And he's got my name too. So he's just, you know, and I love all my boys. I love all my boys. But TJ, he's a tough one. He's my tough one. And hopefully the Navy will whoop him into shape. But I warned him. I warned him when he went. Do not fret to be anxious about anything, but in every circumstance, in everything, by prayer and petition or definite request, make thanksgiving continue to make your wants known to God. We always got to let God know, and he wants to know. You know, there's an area of scripture that says to remind him of his promises. He doesn't mind if you say, hey, God, you said you were going to provide. Woohoo! Provide. Because believe me, that's been my prayer sometimes. Yo, hey, you said you were going to provide. And I know you like to wait till the very last minute, God. It's the very last minute. You know, I've had prayers just like that. Hey, God, I just thought I'd throw a little reminder up to you. Tim, you remember? Woohoo! But he always comes through. Once a little girl at school was asked by her teacher what had changed. Why was she so happy when she had been when she had not been happy in earlier days? And the little girl replied, "Today I push my thoughts around, and the other day I let my thoughts push me around." Man, that's good stuff right there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer." And Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Whew. With God's help, we may have to retrain our minds and our vocabularies before we begin to see a change in our lives. How we act, how we react, how we speak is all very important. You know, sometimes we don't think that way, but sometimes you got to act right before you'll be right. I mean, and some of you are saying, well, you know, I don't like a church where everybody's pretending. Well, what do you want them to do? I'm just faking it until I make it. Because I figure if I act the way I'm supposed to all the time, that eventually I'm just going to act the way I'm supposed to all the time. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, Tim, you're just putting on a front. Yeah, because my back is kind of ugly. I remember what I used to be like. So, yeah, guess what I'm putting on? I'm putting on Christ. Well, you're just putting something on. Yep, it's called Christ. Oh, yeah, I'm not trying to be me. I'm trying to be him. Now, I'm really bad at it, so please do it yourself. But do you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to judge anybody, so don't judge me, but do it yourself. But I'm just trying to act like Jesus. Well, you're just putting on an act. Okay. But eventually that act will become me. He'll become greater in me. By me allowing him to become greater in me, I start to reveal Christ. And when the pressures of life come on me and you squeeze me, I stop spitting out bad things. I start spitting out the right things. What I say, how I act. When the pressure comes on me, I don't blow up and start swearing. And believe me, I there are times when that still happens to me 25 years later. I can be ugly. I'm not always this good looking. It wasn't too long ago. In fact, my brother even said, if there's one guy in the world, there's a guy out there that just irritates a lot of people and where I play disc golf at. And my brother said, you know, Tim, if there's one guy in the whole world that can make you lose all your good words, it was him. But, you know, for years, I love this illustration that I used to use a long time ago. I don't use it too much anymore, but for a long time, I was like a sponge, and I was in a paint bucket, and I was just being dunked in this paint bucket. Have you ever done that? You remember it was popular for a while there? Everybody was sponging their walls and everything, you know? It was popular for about 10 minutes. It's kind of like paisley ties. They come and go. But they were doing that. And then if you ever wanted to use that sponge again, you had to wash it out really good. You had to wash it and wash it and wash it. And it just seemed like if you ever took a sponge and tried to wash paint out of it, it just takes a while. And after a while, it looks like, oh, yeah, this is really good. Until you go to wash something with it and you put a little pressure on it. And deep within that sponge is this little tiny pocket of paint. And it just goes right down the surface you're trying to clean. And you're like, I thought I got all the paint out of this. And that's exactly what happens in our lives. Is we dunk ourselves in paint for so long. And then we start getting washed in the Word of God. And we start getting washed by God. And then when the pressures of life come on us, every once in a while, that little pocket of paint breaks. And stuff comes out of us. And we go, where was that ugly thing? I didn't know that ugly thing still existed. So this is what I try to tell people. When that happens, be quick to repent. Say, Father, forgive me. Move from that step because guess what? That paint pocket is now gone. If you expose it to God and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and allow him to come in and finish cleaning out that paint, eventually there'll be no more paint pockets to break open. There'll be no more of those things in your life. And so when the pressures of life come on, what will come out is the pure water of the Word of God that will edify and bring edification into situations, that will begin to help transform and begin to build up people's lives. And that's really what it's got to be about, is helping others become Christ-like in their own walk. Amen? There was a story that Peter said to cast all your cares upon him, not just the ones that we can control. Oftentimes we can't categorize what God, you know, to God. God, I'm going to worry about this and not about that. God, I'll give you this. I won't give you that. God wants it all. Charlie Brown once said to Linus, they were talking one day, and Charlie Brown said to Linus, I worry a lot about school, Charlie said. And then Charlie thought a little bit more, a little bit longer, and said, I worry about worrying so much about school. And then after some deep reflection in his life, Charlie Brown concluded that my anxiety has anxiety. I mean, we can all identify with Charlie Brown, this snowball thinking, where a little small thing grows in our mind to become this big, huge giant, you know? It just continues to, we get this little tiny thing that is not much at all. It's not even really a concern. But we meditate on it and we think on it, and that thing gets huge. And pretty soon it's this big, ugly thing. Sometimes I get people that come into my office and try to tell me about this little bitty thing. And I'm looking at this little bitty thing and they're describing it as this huge, vicious monster. And I'm like, really? I try not to say it like, really? I try, really? And then try to pray them through it. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we can let these things get us overwhelming. And oftentimes I look at people sometimes and I just go, you know, this too will pass. I mean, it's true. A lot of things that we worry about just, and then all of a sudden, not, you know, my mother-in-law used to be, hi, Mom. She used to stress out all the time about cooking. You know, she'd try to make a big family meal and stuff just was all over the place and she's just struggling. And I went to her one time and said, you know what? We'll all wait. She goes, what? I go, just relax. There's no point in you getting all stressed out about making dinner for all of us because we're all going to wait until it's all done. And no one is going to complain if something doesn't come out right on time because we won't. Oh, so just relax. And so since then, she says, man, it's really just helped me when you came and said not to worry because, hey, if we got to wait a few more minutes for the mashed potatoes, I don't really like super hot food anyway. I'd rather have it a little cooled down because I eat food for the content and not anything else. I mean, you know, it's like I drink coffee. I'd cool my coffee down when I drink it because I drink it for the effect. I don't care about the heat. I just drop a few ice cubes in there and whoosh, a whole cup in a few seconds. That'll change your life, you know. We just get stressed out about the smallest little things sometimes. We need to just kind of have that unanxious anxiety where we just, I can do what I can do. Well, our potlucks are a great example. You can only do what you can do. So if it don't get done and somebody's complaining, hand them an apron. You know, it's like, hey, you know, if you don't want to set up tables and you want to stand here and watch us set up tables, then you can wait. You know, otherwise you can pitch in. The third key is develop a lifestyle of prayer. What is concerning us right now? What is the thing that the enemy is dogging us about today? Are we concerned about our finances, situation, unemployment, the downsizing of our companies, our health, our retirement? I mean, what we've got to learn not to let stuff push us around and begin to push back. And the way we do that is the third step, the third key, is develop a lifestyle of prayer. Do not panic. Pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You ever wonder what the will of God is? It's for you to pray about everything. Oh, I'm just trying to figure out what the will of God is for my life, Pastor. Okay, let's pray. Well, can't you just tell me? No, the will of God for your life is to pray. To pray without ceasing, to constantly pray, to constantly be looking for opportunity to pray for someone else if you run out of stuff to pray for yourself. Our jobs are to pray, to lift up needs, to lift up as a sweet aroma to God, praises, to just continue to pray and to lift things up to God. Pray so much that worry has to take a number and stand in line. We are exhorted to pray about everything. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small to pray about. Paul and Silas, while they were in prison, give us an example in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They're having a revival service while they're in prison. It seems to be a theme for the apostles to be in jail, but also to praise God about it. And then suddenly, while they're praying and praising God, whoo, yahoo, hallelujah, there's a sudden earthquake, and all the prison doors open. And you know what's funny? Paul and Silas don't leave, if you read this whole story. They don't leave here. They go over to the house of the prison guard, and they lead his whole house to Jesus. And then they go back over there and sit down and wait, and all the prison doors are open, and all the rest of the criminals have fled, and they're sitting there, and then they come in and say, okay, you can go. It's amazing. God is amazing if we'll let him be amazing. We need to start praying and singing praises to God instead of worrying about things. Because here's the thing. When you pray and when you begin to praise God, everything that imprisons you will be removed. The prison doors will open up and you'll be free from whatever's bothering you, whatever's tormenting you, whatever's coming after you, whatever's pressing on you. If you will begin to pray and praise God, he will begin to do that. Because God has said he has come to give us that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. That's God's promise to us. The other guy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if those are the effects in your life, if you feel like your life is being destroyed, being killed, being all those things, stolen, killed, and destroyed. Though, if those things are happening in your life, if you feel like destruction is coming into your life, that is not from God. That is from the enemy. So you already know how to pray. Just go to God and say, God, look, your word says that I'm supposed to have life and life more abundantly. So this is what I need to do, God. I need to humble myself under your mighty hand. I need to cast my cares on you because I'm not doing a very good job of them. Because I feel the anxiety and the pressure building up so great in my life and all the things that I'm trying to take care of that I can't take care of them anymore, God. And I need to give them over to you. And I need to say, God, you're in control and I'm going to give them to you. And then begin to see God do the miraculous things in your life. Tremendous things, unbelievable things. God will do those things. I'm still to this day amazed at God's arrival in our lives. I mean, he doesn't leave or anything like that or forsake me in any way. I don't mean to say that. But it's he just shows up and does stuff in my life that it just blows me away. He does stuff here at the church. He does stuff in places. And this thing that's happened with the air conditioner, I guarantee you right now, okay, I guarantee you right now that this thing that the enemy meant to steal, to kill, and destroy, okay, is going to be a blessing to us. Do you know why? Well, because we have insurance, but we also have God. We also have God, and God will destroy the works of enemy. For whatever the devil meant for evil in this situation, he'll turn it around. This thing where we've had to stop serving coffee for free, we serve coffee for free to anyone that comes in, okay? And it just so happens the ones that most need it were coming in, okay? The ones that didn't need it so much, well, they probably did. They needed the time to come in under the anointing. Because believe me, it's anointed here. And so they needed to come. Because see, there's an anointing on these hands. And when I make that coffee, something gets in them. And it's Jesus. And so, because we had to stop that, the enemy is stopping that. Because I don't care what anybody says, that was good. We were doing something. Okay? And because the enemy, something's going to turn around. Something incredible is going to come out of us, the enemy. God's going to defeat that. God's going to break that down. God's going to do something incredible. And you know what? I'm not mad at the neighbors. I'm not mad at the other people in here that have complained and caused us to have to close this. I'm not mad at any of those people. You know why? Because what they need is God to touch them. And I need to get out of the way so he can. And if I hold bitterness or anger towards any of those people, God's going to deal with me before he deals with them. So this is what I say. I'm going to release all that and say, I'm not angry about any of those things. This is an attack of the enemy, and I'm just going to release it over to God and let God begin to deal with the hearts and lives of people that are so stressed out and anxiety about everything else going on in their lives that they just don't see helping others. Okay, and I'm just going to release it and say, okay, God, do whatever you need to do to get all this straightened out. And I'm going to get out of the way, And I hope you are too. So let's not hold any bitterness towards anyone and just step out of the way and let God deal with it. We had to do that one time in our lives not too long ago. I've told a lot of you about that because of what happened at the high school with one of our sons. A lot of things have changed at that school because, and they would not have dealt with my son the same way. But it's okay. We stepped out of the way and let it go. And God dealt with it almost immediately, soon enough that we could see the fruit of what was going on there. And so I just want to encourage you guys, don't carry burdens with you. You don't have to. You have a Savior who will carry your burdens. Just let all those things over to Him. Give them to Him. Let Him have them. And God will begin to miraculously do things in your lives. Humble yourselves in the area of service. You know, I have a thing. I don't know if I can remember it, but it's on my wall. I just showed it to a guy the other day, and I actually sent it to another friend of mine who's going back into ministry. And it just says, do all the good you can to all the people you can, for as long as you can, do whoever you can, whenever you can, do whatever you can. Just do good. I mean, you can go in there and read it, but it's by John Wesley. It was John Wesley's rule. You know, just do all the good you can to all the people you can, whenever possible you can, however you do it, just do good. That's a good thing. So just aim to do good and magnify Christ and glorify Him. Keep raising your hands. Don't wring them. Raise them. And God will do some miraculous things. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just love You and we thank You. We thank You for this time that we can gather together and study Your Word. Father, I just pray that You would touch and minister to every heart that's in this place today, that we would release all those anxieties, all those pressures, all those worries, and just cast all our cares upon You because You care for us. Because God, You will provide, that You will do miraculous things in our lives if we'll just humble ourselves and not be prideful, but let You continue to do a great work in us. And God, we just give You all the praise. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've drifted from that relationship out of some reason, you just decided, oh, I don't really like You that much, God. But today you decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to come back to God and make my heart right with God. I want you to slip up your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to do that. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Lord, we just love You and we thank You. I pray for every person in this room. Be with us throughout this week. Let us display Your glory, Your peace, and your power in our lives. Let Your might be displayed in everything that we do and everything that we say. Father, we just give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.